Chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge, that is, your city shall, from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee to one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and shall give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and to his own house and unto the city from whence he fled. Now there are more details in Numbers 35, but the situation is this. There were 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob. Joseph, the 11th son, was the son of Jacob of Rachel, which was the first time that God opened a womb when she was barren, and was the true love, the one he really loved. And from her came Joseph, who received the portion of the firstborn, that is, the double inheritance and the responsibility and blessing of the family. And so he had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and because of the double inheritance, each one of them became a full tribe. So now we have 13 tribes, because the house of Joseph became a double tribe. 12 out of 13 of these tribes were to receive a land inheritance when they entered, overcame, and then occupied. As they began to occupy, God allowed 12 different divisions of the land, and that is 12 areas, that is, I have to qualify again, these 12 tribes to each, 12 of the 13 tribes, each to receive a land inheritance. Now, I had to say it that way because there were 13 areas for 12 tribes. Because Manasseh had an area on the east of Jordan and another area on the west of Jordan, half a tribe on either side. So there were 13 areas, but it was counted still as one tribe. The 13th tribe, Levi, was without land inheritance. From them was to become the priesthood. So God gave them instead 48 cities scattered throughout Israel and the suburbs of the city. And these are cities already been built by Canaanites, and already there, and they just came and occupied them, took everything they had. They then, because they didn't have all this big farmland, they were to receive tithes of the people. So those that were in Gad, for example, and Reuben and so forth, as they farmed, as they raised sheep, and as they got grapes and so forth, they were to count out all the wine that they got, and they were to give one-tenth of all the wine, everybody who made wine. Everybody who raised sheep would give a tenth of the sheep. Everybody that raised wheat would give a tenth of the wheat. Everybody that raised figs would give a tenth of the figs. And everything they had, they would give a tenth, the tithe, unto the tribe of Levi, who lived in these 48 priestly cities. In addition to that, which is a requirement, they were to give an offering. Now, that was what they had to do. Now, God says, over and above that, I'm not going to tell you how much to give, but just give from your heart, over and above that, in appreciation of the ministry as a priest. in this area. Every eighth city of these 48, and eight is the number of new beginnings, and that, and new beginnings comes in the law, that's your new beginning, born again to Jesus in Christ. And every eighth city of the Levitical cities were to be a city of refuge. That made six cities. Six priestly cities were cities of refuge. Six is the number of man. Christ, the man Christ Jesus, was the mediator between God and man. And he was the high priest. Now, there was one high priest over all Levi, in fact, over all the land. One high priest. But every city was ruled by a priest, and there were priests in the cities, these cities, the Levitical cities. And six of these Levitical cities were cities of refuge. Now, these cities of refuge, three of them were given on the east side of Jordan, and three were made on the west side of Jordan, which is somewhere on either side. And they were refuge for those who committed murder accidentally. Now, in Genesis 9:6, there were no cities of refuge. God had not made a distinction. And all God said is, in Genesis 9:6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? "For in the image of God made he man." He was to be head of the federal race, Adam. Man was made in the image of God as the representative of God. And Adam represented the last Adam, which is Christ. And he whosoever sheddeth any Adam was guilty of crucifying Christ, a son of God, who God put eternal life in. He who represented God. Now, you could slay animals because they were not made in the image of God. And they did not have eternal souls and eternal spirits that were to be made like unto him and to the Lord. It was blood for blood. The law was without mercy until Joshua, who is Christ in type, overcame Canaan and occupied. Until the high priest was ordained, as Jesus. Until the church was set up, when the high priest was ordained in the wilderness. Until the church was set up, and the elders were there to make judgment. You see, it all comes into it. Until we have a legal church government, with Christ the head, and the high priest. Now, God, at this time, although it was said by Moses, at this time, it was said by Moses, type of Christ, but when now Joshua, who was a continuing type of Christ of Moses, when he overcame, and he overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and overcame death, hell, and the grave, and began to occupy, then, at that time, there was a distinction made in murder and manslaughter. And this has been passed on to Christian nations. Today we make a distinction in Christian nations where you purposely kill a man, or you accidentally kill him by running into him in the car and you didn't mean to. There's still a penalty, perhaps, but there's a judgment made. But at least there's a difference. Some nations, they don't make any difference. The heathen nations say, you did it, and that's it. Just like that. Now, they were not allowed to kill men. If you purposely killed someone, you were guilty of death. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to have to move fast. I'm going to keep up with me because I don't want to go over time because I started late. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," leaving the principles, not leaving Christ, not leaving doctrines of Christ, but leaving the principles, the basic ones, doctrine of Christ, "let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance." Only the foundation again, it's already been laid. Don't dig it up and throw it away, but just don't keep laying it all the time, it's already been laid. "From dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and the Greek means once and for all, completely enlightened, and have tasted, the Greek means tasted for yourself, of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted for yourself, tasted the good word of God, and of the powers of the world to come, is that the earnest, actual spiritual experience, if they shall fall away, the Greek didn't say if they shall fall away, and it says and they shall fall away, if this happens, and they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Chapter 10, we continue the same thing right there. Verse 26 to 31. 10:26. For if we sin willfully, and this is in the continuing action, tense in Greek, it means if we are continuing to sin willfully, not just once, if we are continuing to sin willfully. Willfully, we want to, our will is to sin. After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. And the reason is, once you have rejected Jesus Christ as your sin offering, and you willfully, not because the flesh overpowers you and you fall and you're weak and all of that, but you willfully and continually willfully, then you reject the sin offering and there remains no more sacrifice, because he's the only sacrifice for sin. And if you're in Judaism and you go back to Judaism willfully, knowing you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God, those lamb sacrifices will do you no good now, because there remaineth no more sacrifice since you reject the only sacrifice. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation, which shall devour his adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Despite they had witnesses. Now, of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. You're sanctified in a covenant relationship with God, an unholy thing. You now count it unholy. And hath done despite to the Spirit of grace who bore along with you. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now that ought to scare enough people to keep you from wanting to just throw away the blood covenant, Jesus Christ, count it as nothing, and go out and live for the devil. That's the purposely you're now guilty of crucifying Christ, it says, and putting him to an open shame, since you have rejected him. You're crucifying him afresh, saying there's nothing to all that. Oh, I spoke in tongues, I was just a bunch of garbage, I wasn't true at all, and there was no, is no God, I was just playing all that, and you just put him to an open shame, you put him on the cross again. Now, in the type, this person who willingly kills somebody, he willingly crucifies Christ. He rejects God's laws. And he puts him to an open shame. After tasting the heavenly gifts, there's no one more sacrifice for sin. And so he is put to death. He has eternal death. Now there's a person who accidentally kills somebody. He's guilty. But he receives mercy if he flees to the city of refuge, the mercy of Christ. The type is that he was without knowledge. He crucified Christ. He was guilty of crucifying Christ as in the world, But he did it without knowledge. Being sinner and in darkness, he was wandering in the darkness. We crucified Christ, but we didn't know it. We rejected God's laws before we came to Jesus Christ. But we didn't know all this. We didn't know he was the Savior of our soul. We're supposed to do all of this. We rejected God's laws. 1 Timothy 1:13 says, here we have a case in point. The Apostle Paul speaking, 1 Timothy 1:13. Paul talking about himself. I'm going to read verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Isn't that marvelous? He can count you worthy and put you faithful and put you in the ministry when you're a blasphemer? And a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, city of refuge, Christ, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I was putting people to death. I voted for Stephen to be put to death, so I helped put him to death. I was hating Christians and beating them, putting them in prison. I was guilty of crucifying Christ, but I did it ignorantly. And I fled to the city of refuge, and he put me in the ministry. He saved me. Hallelujah. Now, but you've got to flee to the priest, who is the mediator between God and man, to his sanctuary. Numbers 35:15. You say, well, that's all good for Israelites in the promised land. But what about the nations? What about those that are not in the promised land, but who are not of the stock of Israel? How about the rest of them, for them salvation? How come they don't get a city of refuge? Numbers 35:15. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the strangers, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. So if you are a sojourner and you wander into the church of God in the camp of Israel, and you have crucified Christ unwittingly, rejected his laws, and all of a sudden that sin is pursuing you, you can run into the refuge of Christ and the sanctuary of the priest of God, and you will be safe there, even if you were not an Israelite. P.S. He'll make you an Israelite of God. You'll get talked to by the priest, and you'll become and believe the same thing they do, and you'll enter into the circumcision and become one of them. Now, the guilty who accidentally killed someone, remember it said they were not free until the high priest died. And then they were free from the penalty of the law. Isn't that the way it is? We who accidentally have killed Christ because of our way, our sin, rejected his laws, we must flee to the city, and we are not free until the high priest dies, Christ. We're not free. We offer the lamb sacrifice, we're in the city, we're safe. That's right, but you're not free until the high priest dies. That's why John saw them all down there in Sheol waiting for the high priest to die. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That ratified all the rest of them. Then, once the high priest dies, that man may leave the city of refuge and go back to his own land. He can walk out of the gates, walk across the land, and no man may judge him of being guilty, or they will die. Remember that. Romans 8:1. Be careful of that. I preached a message on that recently. It's the one in the evening, I believe. Be careful about judging somebody that God has forgiven and set free out of the city of refuge. You be careful. 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in the city of refuge, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the Greek just says, to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own Son, that's God who spared not Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Although all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have committed hamartia, missed the mark, yet he has justified him by his blood. He stands justified, just. And who shall bring any charge, accusation to God's elect? Brother, be careful of that. For this reason, you do not discern the Lord's body, and many sleep in death, and there's much trouble and sickness and problems. If we don't understand, start discerning the Lord's body and what God does in relation to the church and the government of God and condemning those that God has freed, we're going to continue to have problems physically and spiritually. We've got to learn this. And when we learn this, it's going to be a wonderful day. We are learning it, but I hope we finally graduate and do it quickly. Now, our sins pursue us. You see, you killed somebody, and all of a sudden the avenger of blood is on your back. His nephew, his brother is after you. And so, sin pursues us. And we must run to Jesus. 1 John 2:1. Because all of our sins lead to death, don't they? And that sin that leads to death is pursuing us. So death is pursuing us. And sin pursues us, death pursues us. The wages of sin are death. But the city of refuge is eternal life. Now, 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that we sin not. And if any man sin, if we do sin, we have an advocate, the Greek is paraklesos again, that same lawyer who goes on our behalf, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's interesting, when in Acts, the Holy Ghost is called the paraklesos. Here, Jesus is called the paraklesos. Interesting. Somebody make me a note. I'm going to put that in the Employment Relations Guidebook. It just came to me. Okay, now. When I preach my sermon, so often I get things that are not on the paper here. May I say that good intentions to flee to the city of refuge aren't good enough? You kill somebody, and his brother's after you with a sword. Well, I intended to go to the city of refuge. I intended. That avenger of blood is going to take you right on through. I intended to give my life to Christ one of these days. Well, I always kept intending to finally come to church. And I intended to come to the altar, you know. I intended to. But once sin has slain you, it's too late. Once you're dead, it's too late. Trying hard to make it isn't good enough. Well, I tried hard. I was trying to make it to the city of refuge. If you don't get to the city of refuge before he gets you, trying hard is not good enough. But what if you're on the way to the city of refuge, you don't make it? What if you're running to it, you don't make it? Now, we're talking about the Old Covenant. The type is never as good as the antitype, you know that. But the answer is this. God does not owe any manslayer a city of refuge. That's called mercy, grace, unmerited favor. He doesn't owe it to you. He does not owe you salvation. You are guilty for your sin, and the guillotine is your portion. He does not owe you forgiveness. The judge doesn't owe pardon to a criminal, and we're all criminals before God. He doesn't owe it to you. It's mercy. Now, once you're in the city of refuge, which is Christ, and the government of Christ, the priests and the elders and everything else, you must not leave the refuge of Christ. If you decide, once you're in there and you're safe, and then you wander out, the enemy will fall on you with a sword. And you know what happens? You know who the enemy is, don't you? Oh, Diablos, the devil, and all of the sin, all the different things that beckon you out in the world, all of his people. God won't stop him. God won't stop him. If you wander out of the city of refuge and you go out there and sin slays you, God won't stop him. He's not obligated to stop you when you walk out of the city of refuge. You're on dangerous ground. You've left safety. You're safe only in Jesus. He's a strong tower, and he that runneth into it is safe. Not that he that runneth into it and runneth back out is safe. When the enemy's attacking you, you have to stay in the tower. And he's attacking you every day. Now, God made an access to the city of refuge, which is Christ, for everyone. Deuteronomy 19, 5 through 7. Deuteronomy 19, 5. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to his view wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head of the axe slippeth from the helve, the handle, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee to one of those cities and live. But see, why does he have to flee? I'll tell you why he has to flee. It was accidental. Yeah, but the brother of a dead brother is not objective. He is mad. He is not necessarily thinking straight at that time. He's not very forgiving when his brother got killed, or his son or daughter. And his brother's boarding, he's not a new creation, you know. And he's after you. And your only hope is to rush into the city where the elders and the congregation can judge the matter and rightly before the Lord and before the priest, and then offer you refuge, because that man is not going to give you a fair deal. That's why the unjust judges won't give you a fair deal either, necessarily. That's why if you have any problem with your brother, come into the assembly. Let the church judge the matter. They'll give you a fair deal. Let the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot. His heart is hot. And he overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, insomuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. He means three on this side. Remember, before he talked about six, there were three on the other side, you get the whole story. Now, it was not easy necessarily to get to the city of refuge when you have slain somebody. God made a way, but it was not necessarily easy. But if it was available, if you had full desire, the three on both sides of Jordan, I spotted out on a map, another brother and I were working together, we spotted out on the map the cities of refuge. We pointed them out. And then we took the area in between and see what the longest distance was that you had to go to kill somebody to get to the city of Red. We drew a line and we found the average distance. And then, finding the length of the furthest distance that you could go, and taking running time out of the World Book of Not Running Time, and then doubling it because we're not expert runners. But in those days, they were not better shape than we are, because they worked outside and were in pretty good shape. They weren't desk jockeys. And besides, you have extra adrenaline and motivation when somebody is chasing you with an ass and his butt is hot with him. And then taking into consideration the terrain of the land, we came to the estimate that the maximum, in the worst case, would be 7 to 12 hours running time, but the average would be 2 to 4 hours. Now, the two things I see here. Not only does death partly pursue sin, but, you know, it's not easy when you have crucified Christ to come to Christ. I mean, you've got to give up the world. You've got to really press it. I mean, you know the devil beats on you. You know there's the devil is pursuing after you. You know that you've got problems. The devil's pursuing. He's trying to overtake you before you get to Christ. He's trying to get you before you get to the city of refuge. It's not necessarily easy. You know the battle some of you went through to come to Christ. But it's available. It's with full vigor. If you will press with full vigor, you say yes, but some live further and some live closer. And it was easier for those who live closer. You know, it's easier for some to come to Christ than others. It is easier. The typology says some it's easier to come to Christ than others. Now, if his blood is hot, you know, and you're loafing along, you know, like this, in the city of refuge, you may not make it. But if you pour on the coal and ask God to help you, you'll get there. 1 Timothy 1:15. Now, this is Paul talking. I want to read two scriptures together. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, murderers, those who murdered him, those who had death sentences over them, of whom I am chief. Paul said, I was one of the worst. I was trying to kill Christ. People, I was after Christ. I had a hatred towards Christ like nobody else had. That's what he said, I was chief. Not that he had committed the most fornication and all this. He said, I lived in good conscience until this day. But I am chief because I hated Christ more than anybody else. I was more zealous to go after Christ and his people than anybody else. So I'm the chiefest of sinners. But then we read in Philippians 3:8, back a few pages, back and into the front of the book, Philippians 3:8, the same apostle, the same one says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, remember those words, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but refuse, that I may win Christ. He also said he was not one whit behind the chiefest apostle. Now, he talked about having lost all. He was guilty of death and having lost all. Well, you have a home out here in Galilee, we'll say. You have a home and a farm, and you've got some sheep and so forth, and you build it all up and got a little flower garden or whatever, and that's your life. And you accidentally kill somebody who is made in the image of God, who is a representative of God, which is Christ. So you flee to the city of refuge, and they give you a place in the city of refuge. You have a new home, and you suffer the loss of all things. You don't have that old life anymore. You don't have the old home. Everything you've had before is gone. You've suffered it. You've put it behind you. You've traded it. And they give you a new place in the body, in the Levitical city of Christ. And you suffer the loss of all things. Notice in this verse, and be found in Him. You suffer the loss of old things and be found in the new city of refuge in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Paul killed Stephen by his boat, Stephen, ran to the city of refuge, and was saved. And once Christ died, he could walk out, and Agabus and the rest of them called him brother, and nobody jumped on him, and now he was free. And he was guiltless now, because he was acquitted. I want to read two more scriptures. Hebrews 6:18, Mr. God. I have to move along. 6:18 says, I want you to notice the word carefully, because it ties right into the message. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Now, don't you want a strong consolation? You that have sinned, don't you want a strong, be consoled in a strong way by an immutable thing in which it was impossible for God to lie? In other words, you want to make sure you don't go to hell. You want something positive, not just some church told you so. Some possible thing that God cannot lie in this matter. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It's impossible. This is a strong consolation. We have fled to refuge. I think the Holy Ghost put that in there for a connection, don't you? We might make connections. One more scripture, Psalms 143:9. You see, the Holy Spirit alluded the same thing here through David. Who also became guilty. 143:9. And he took a life too of Uriah, you know. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies, (parentheses) who want to slay me. I flee unto thee as a city of refuge to hide me. Deliver me from mine enemies, and sin that hardly pursues me in death shall take me, and I flee to you that you might hide me. Now, if we're going to overcome our enemies, we're talking about entering, overcoming, and occupying, we must enter the promise of God, the promised land. We must flee judgment of sin. As Lot fled Sodom. Judgment was coming upon Sodom, and he fled it. And we must flee sin, the judgment of sin that we've committed. We must flee to Christ as Lot fled, and we must not look back like Lot's wife did. Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and starts in the field of God, in the harvest field, in the ministry, and looketh back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, may I say that the kingdom of God is safety. And it is better to flee sin than to flee judgment of sin. In other words, it's better to make sure you don't accidentally kill somebody than to kill them and run for a city of refuge. It's better you don't sin than sin and run for a city of refuge. So there are always got a city of refuge. A brother, he's breathing hot down your back, and he may get you before you get there. So don't keep counting on killing people and running to refuge, even accidentally killing people. Better to keep away from that. Now, we must flee to the Levitical city ruled over by the priest. And Christ is the high priest. And through the church of Jesus, we must flee not just to the high priest. They didn't run to the high priest, you notice that? They ran to one of the Levitical cities appointed to a refuge. One of the cities appointed. And there were priests in that city, ministers, but not the high priest. In other words, you just can't say, well, I'm just going to go to Jesus and that's it. God never intended you to walk independent. Oh, I can have Jesus, I don't need a church. You've got to go to the city where the priest is and the elders and the rest of them, and the scripture says, and for them to accept you. And the Christ is safety, you see, in the church of Jesus, because there in that Levitical city you're going to get teaching, and they're going to protect you, and you're in the government. And there's a wall built around it that the enemy won't be able to come in. They'll close the gates against them. Don't wander out in the land and say, well, I'll just go to the high priest and I don't have to go to the Levitical city. God's way is the Levitical city. Now, a city of refuge, all the cities of refuge were situated on hills. They were high and lofty, representing close to God. They were in cities of hills so you can see them. Where does that city of refuge go? Christ, he lifted it up to draw all men into me. You shall can see him. He's put it in his word. It's up in our mountains, in our faith. It's glorious. It's not down in some valley. Living in Christ is not a valley experience. The city of refuge is a hilltop experience. The Bible says, Christ, whom God hath exalted, lifted up high, the city of refuge. If I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. A city that's set in a hill cannot be hid. And we are cities set in the hill. We are the kingdom of priests, the scripture says. We are a Levitical city, a kingdom of priests. We are refuge for the sinner. Because the high priest, because of the high priest, because of God who ordained the high priest. Now the Levites, and I'm winding up, this clock's good to me because I got 5 minutes about to wind this up in the usual time, and I got about 5 minutes left. Okay. I didn't think I was going to make it. Christ, the Levites, when they went into the land, through the wilderness, in to overcome, the Levites, as well as the rest of them, all stayed together until they overcame. After they overcame the land, then the Levites were dispersed throughout the land in the 48 Levitical cities. Why? To occupy until I come, Jesus said. To occupy in the ministry. To be worthy of the vocation wherewith I have called thee. And to be worthy, you need to be trained in the Spirit of God, in the school of God. That's by the Spirit of the Lord, through his word. To occupy the inheritance. What was the inheritance? The land to work. Christ growing up in us. And so this is with us also. As we are training Levites here, and the growing up sons of Levi here in the city, and while we're overcoming, we're sticking together. But we need to overcome instead of occupying, and we're going to have to thrust them out into the 48 Levitical cities, as it were, so that the whole land has them at their disposal. And there'll be cities of refuge out there for people to flee to. Now, also Christ left 12 apostles in Jerusalem, which was the mother church. But other witnesses, by necessity, they scattered throughout the land preaching Christ. By necessity. Well, by a different necessity, we're also going to have to be scattered out preaching Christ. And yet, the largest church is left in Jerusalem. They estimated 30,000 people in the church of Jerusalem. But even many of the 12 of the apostles in the church of Jerusalem were eventually dispersed. They didn't always need the 12 at Jerusalem. And so with us, it may be some will be eventually dispersed, but at first it was needed to hold it together while the rest were being built. And then when they had a contention about circumcision, the law and grace, they went up to the apostles and the elders who were at Jerusalem to settle the matter. See. And then later, even some of them were dispersed, as Peter who went into Babylon to preach to the Jews who did not come back from the dispersion.
They're sometimes out in Babylon, some who haven't come back yet from the dispersion. They're still out in Babylon. God will send some out to get them to come back. And so it will be with us. And so this has to do with entering, overcoming, and then occupying, and making these cities, and being cast out and thrust out into the ministry of God. The specific perspectives have been helpful to you in this series. Amen. Let me stand.